Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Maggie. Good week, Mark. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
This week we've got a sort of a down-home country look at an old-fashioned remedy. First, we're going to take a look at cough. Clearly, the starting point in any diagnosis in cough is medical history, physical exam. Timing and characteristics of cough can be of some use. Medical history important to help look at the things that hang with cough. Acute cough often associated with post-nasal drip and sore throat, common soliloquy of the common cold. Common cold, newer generation non-sedating antihistamines are not effective at reducing cough and probably shouldn't be used. One remedy my grandmother used to use is honey, sometimes honey in water with a little bit of lemon juice. This week's poem asks the clinical question, is honey effective for cough suppression in children? This is an article that was published in the Archives of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine. Mark, what did the authors find?
Well, just thinking back, actually, my mother used to use honey with a little bit of rum in it, so I think I was a little better off than most of the kids, but they were from Europe, so that was okay.
Right.
105 kids with moderately disruptive cough from URI, less than 7 days duration, were randomly assigned to one of three groups. The first group got honey. And the honey was dosed by age, so kids 2 to 5 years got a half a teaspoon, 6 to 11 years, 1 teaspoon, and 12 to 18 years got 2 teaspoons. The second group got a specially compounded honey-flavored and honey-scented dextromethorphan to try and fool them so they couldn't be sure what they were getting. And the third group got no treatment at all, and the dose was given about 30 minutes before bedtime. And the main justification, I think one of the questions is why use a no treatment arm instead of a placebo group. And the author said that, well, in a previous study, dextromethorphan was equivalent to placebo. So we were interested in looking at dextromethorphan compared to nothing instead of compared to placebo.
Mm-hmm.
So although the no treatment group obviously knew what they were getting, the other two groups were unaware because of this honey flavoring of the dextromethorphan. So the parents of the kids gave ratings of cough severity and the effect on sleep, presumably the children's sleep, not the parents' sleep, but they were probably related, and then other, baseline and then next day ratings so you could see if there was any improvement. About 81% of the kids finished the study, which is okay. Every treatment group improved by the second night, and even those getting no treatment. So there's a tendency for there to be improvement no matter what you did. But kids in the two treatment groups, the active treatment groups, had slightly greater reductions in cough frequency than the untreated kids. And those getting honey instead of dextromethorphan had even greater reduction in cough severity and sleep disruption. Five of the parents noticed hyperactivity, nervousness, insomnia in kids with honey compared to two who got dextromethorphan and none who received no treatment. So single dose of honey does seem to be somewhat effective at decreasing cough severity, sleep disruption. Remember, honey should never be given to infants because of the risk of botulism. That's why they cut it off at 2 years, but certainly would be safe above that age.
The treatment of cough gotten a lot of attention recently as the FDA and consumer groups have looked at the effectiveness of some of these over-the-counter medicines and found that they weren't effective and were being marketed to the public as though they were. So here's something that looks like that it's simple, it's cheap, and it may help a percentage of patients.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, too, kind of buried in this was the fact that the dextromethorphan was better than no treatment, but in another study was no better than placebo.
Right.
And so that whole issue of the placebo effect and expectations, there was another study recently got a lot of media coverage of patients told that a drug was very expensive, had a much better result in terms of pain reduction than if they were told it was 10 cents a pill. So those expectations can be very powerful.
Yeah, we should talk about that at some point. That's a very interesting study and calls into question lots of of what we're doing and why we may see the effects that we're seeing, particularly with things like blood pressure pills and cholesterol.
Yeah, and you know, I think there was also another study that showed that the color of the pill, the dark colored pills, were perceived as more powerful. So I think Nexium has the grand slam there. They've got a purple pill that's very expensive. So
no wonder
it works so well.
Well, and I recall reading as well that when it comes to taste of things, the ickier the taste, more reviled the taste, the assumption is that it's got to be stronger, because if they, you know, could make it any less icky, they certainly would have.
Yeah.
But it's so strong that it's got to taste icky. Okay, we'll talk with you again next week. Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.